Welcome back to the Pinstripe Podcast. Scotty, what's up?
Nothing much. Baseball slowing down. We still have some good games, just not for us as Yankee fans. But, you know, we'll probably talk about it a little later. You at least have the NL wild card going on. That is a wild race. So there still is some very good baseball going on. Just not, for the most part, not from the Yankees.
No. Like, I'm going to the Red Sox game tomorrow because they're doing a giveaway that they collaborated with the Barbie movie and they're doing Red Sox.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm going to that. But they're playing the White Sox. I'm like, guys, this game actually means absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
It means actually, somehow like less than nothing.
That's why they need an absolute amazing giveaway to be able
to. I was going to say, I bought those tickets, I think, Monday night, and I bought seven, and I could only find seven tickets together in the right field grandstand for $43. To give you context, that's normally where I sit for the $9 student tickets.
Yeah.
Which is, great idea by the Red Sox. I don't know how they are the only team doing this or the only team that got like the rights to do it, because they're doing two shirts. I'm sure you saw them, right?
Yeah.
Right. The pink one is just the Boston Red Sox. I get the blue one being like the B, sure, whatever. But like the pink one, it literally just says Boston Red Sox.
Yeah.
Any team could have done that. But let's.
Yeah, but nothing really rolls off the tongue like Kenway.
That is true. Kenway Park does really flow quite really well. That's fair. But let's get into some. Scotty and I were just talking before we hit record. Not a whole lot of Yankee things to cover. Carlos Rodon hit 1,000 career strikeouts, but Scotty made a good point. Seven of those feeling like they were with the Yankees.
60, to be exact. Oh. 60 of them. So you put it in perspective, 60 of them were with us. And you're like, oh, I only spent a year here. He had 237 with San Fran last year.
I was going to say, I think that's about 0.6% or 0.06% of, 0.06%. 6%?
So a majority of them were.
I think 6% of his strikeouts were Yankee strikeouts.
Yes. A majority of them were from Chicago, the White Sox. He had 710 with them across his 7 years, and then through 1 year, 237 with San Fran, and then just 60 with the Yankees, but able to reach the mark, I guess. I felt like the Yankees kind of posted something about it, but they were like, eh.
Yeah, because it's like, that's like, congratulations. That's like the Chris Paul meme. Or the Chris Paul video where it's like, Chris Paul hits three-pointer to cut lead to 42.
Yeah. No, but at the same time, I mean, it's both because he didn't really do great in that game.
Yeah.
But as well, he didn't do great there. The season hasn't been important.
And he has not been anywhere relevant to the Yankees.
Exactly. It just kind of was like, I guess we should post this. Like, at least like Gerrit Cole with his, it was like, okay, you know, actually like a fair majority, not majority of them, but a fair number of them were with the Yankees.
Yeah, exactly. I agree. But just something that we've always kept up in noticing benchmarks like that. So I agree. Like, it definitely was not like, whoo, 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 because, okay. But
he struggled through this season, needed 60 strikeouts, 60 of them, and it took him until September.
Yeah. Tough luck. You know, that should have been reached in May, April.
Yeah, June the latest.
I missed this because I went right into Carlos Rodon, which is very odd of me, but just because there's not much to say about this, but Friday night's game in Pittsburgh, Anthony, I'm going to fuck up his last name, Misiewicz?
I don't know.
I don't know if he's ever actually pitched for the Yankees before Friday. He was carted off after he got a line drive back at him, and it hit him in the head. I don't know why that was so hard for me to get out. Did you see it happen?
Did a line drive hit him in the head? I thought a throw hit him in the head.
No, it was a line drive.
Somebody else got hit with a throw then.
There was a video going around the other day where Rortovic came up and almost hit Gerrit Cole in the head within a second. But no, this was a line drive. And like off his head, Aaron Judge fielded it in right field.
I think it was like a Nationals
pitcher. It got him. He was awake the next morning and obviously concussed, which actually scratched that. I should not at all say obviously because it took them 4 fucking months to diagnose Anthony Rizzo. But the Pirates doctors and Pittsburgh hospital people diagnosed him with a concussion, not the Yankees. I've never seen it happen before. And then I saw that one. I was watching that one. And it was very scary. But he like went down and they like, he was trying to get up right away, but they were kind of forcing him down and he was like conscious getting into the cart and everything, but healthy and quick recovery to him. What else do I have that's fucking Yankee related? Oh, and then I just wanted to share this stat before we talk about who I know you want to talk about. Michael King.
Oh, there's one more before that.
Oh, yeah, true. We should probably talk about I got this on Monday. So I'll do this and that. Okay. Scotty, I know where we're going. I've got it.
Okay.
Sorry. I'm a little all over the place. It's been a long week. But I saw this tweet on Monday, and Anthony Volpe currently has more home runs than Dansby Swanson, Xander Bogaerts, Carlos Correa, and Bo Bichette, with more defensive runs saved than Francisco Lindor, Gunnar Henderson, Corey Seager, and Jeremy Peña. And the crowd goes mild.
No, I'm sorry, because I'm trying to get his numbers up. And it what honestly is really impressive about it is his numbers the last month
have been doo-doo caca.
Terrible.
Yeah, just like horrendous.
His
offensive numbers.
His last five games have included six strikeouts and 3 hits.
Yeah.
He hasn't recently. It really just kind of shows what he was like besides these last few.
Yeah.
I mean, of course, he was whatever the most recent rookie to get a 2020 season.
Yeah.
But yeah, he has super fallen off. His last 14
offensively games, I'd like to make it very clear.
Yeah, no, offensively.
Strictly offensively.
His last 14 days he's totaled 12 bases.
Okay, but may I raise you, it's really hard to hit when the rest of your team isn't.
It is. His last 28, he has 33 total bases with 28 strikeouts, batting .174.
You want to know who he has better, more bases than? Giancarlo Stanton. As a guess.
Yeah, that's it. I thought you were coming really to
me about that one, but it's a solid guess. But, I mean, I know we talked about this a little while ago. He's obviously, like, I think we're all pretty sure that Gunnar Henderson is probably going to get American League Rookie of the Year.
Most likely.
But I really, really do think that Anthony Volpe can get himself a gold glove this year.
Yeah.
Not to be like, ha ha ha, Wander Franco is out of the picture, because obviously I don't mean it like that, but baseball skill-wise, he was really the only one that was competing with Volpe and leading Volpe, and now clearly that's not an option for baseball anymore. So it would be fun to see him get that in his first year. Then it doesn't feel like the whole season was just, okay, all he got was Gerrit Cole, did well every 6 days, and got the Cy Young.
Yeah.
Awards, I don't know, I just feel a little bit better about, you know? Jason Dominguez underwent Tommy John surgery. Did you see his Instagram post?
Yeah.
With him, like, tucked to the chin in the hospital bed.
What was the caption? It was like, part robot now or something like that. Like,
no, wait, let me, I sent it to my friend because the first picture just made me laugh. So, like, the blanket was literally up all the way to his chin. Officially Bionic.
That's what it was.
And VIP Care by Steve. Steve Donahue is the director of medical services for the New York Yankees.
So good.
I want this man fired. This man, Jason Dominguez, just added the man to my hit list. He was mysterious for a while, and now I know. Sorry. Go ahead, whatever you were going to say.
So it's something I'm going to just jump around the league just for this one point. Shohei, he underwent surgery as well. And he is perceived batting next year and then pitching in 2025. So Jason Dominguez is on basically the same trail. So, well, granted, what they're going to do with him next year, we don't know. He will be able to play next year. Whether they will keep him in the minors for a little longer as he fully recovers and then pull him back up or start him in the majors. I mean, it's a...
The only reason I feel like they're not going to start him in the majors is because they're going to need him to play outfield.
Yeah.
We're not going to have Stanton go out there every day and so that Dominguez can DH.
Yeah.
But if once Dominguez is healthy enough to play the outfield, then yeah. I think they'll be okay. Unless it works out the way that we talked about, where it's like right when Stanton's going on the IL, Dominguez is healthy, and then it's just a clean switch. But I mean, yes, still frustrating that it happened, but that is hopeful that, you know, Bryce Harper wasn't like a fluke, right? We knew that recovery time from Tommy John was getting faster. Obviously, him returning as a position player is a lot different than Shohei returning as a pitcher, but that is very comforting to kind of see that hopefully it will not impede his debut too much. The last thing we've got, and Scotty, I want you to talk about it because he's on your fantasy team, is Michael King.
So Michael King went out last night and put up a career high 13 strikeouts through seven. He was going off. He had not 8-4 or 9-4. It was an unreal start for him. I'm still so, like, I still have a thing inside of me of, like, I understand they're trying to get him to the starting rotation. First of all, I really don't understand why. Not that, like, anything against him, but A, they've done this in the past about every year they've tried to get him a starter, and it works now. It is working now. We'll give it that. But at the same time, by next year, we'll have Cole, we'll have Rodon, we'll have Nestor, we'll have Montas, we'll have the pitchers, the starting pitchers that we're paying for. It's not that I'm saying Michael King is worse than any of them. It's just that we're paying starting pitchers. And so we're going to expect them to start. And so it's going to be really tough to just decide that we want to make Michael King a starter now.
The thing is, I can very much see them. Michael King has a 1.27 ERA with 42 strikeouts in his six starts this year. I can very much see them swapping him and Nestor, I think.
Here is my thing as well, though. They need to decide this now.
Now.
Because he's a free agent.
At the end of this year?
Yes. He was signed through 2023 at a one-year, $1.3 million deal.
I can't lose Michael King.
You need to talk to him about it, and you need to make the decision now because, A, if you do this and you go, we're not going to use you as a starter, he can go to other teams and say, I want to be used as a starter. Look at
my resume as a starter. Exactly.
And at the same time, we're going to have to then, if we say we're going to look at you as a starter, even though you've started five games last year for us and did really well, he's asking for starter money.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really put them in a shitty spot in what they want to decide to do. I love Michael King. He is such a good pitcher. He has nasty stuff. He's dropped velocity this year a little bit. He's sitting like 94, but has increased movement.
I was gonna say, but he's more, not that he wasn't effective before, but I feel like he's significantly more effective this year.
Yeah.
Not, and I didn't even think that was possible.
Yeah. And he's only 28.
That is, I didn't realize that he was at a contract year.
Yeah. It's a, I mean, it's a reliever, so it's common for them to have no more than a 3-year contract. But I mean, now you're looking at an interesting situation where I wouldn't be surprised if Michael King looks to be a starter somewhere with how this has gone to end the season.
Yeah, I mean, and the argument, he has performed exactly how you talk about every like position player and hitter who's going into a free agent year. He's done exactly what a pitcher would want to do to demand more money.
Yeah, he's sitting at 94 innings pitched, which is well above his highest. 2021 was his highest before that at 63 1/3. He's at 94 2/3 now. So he's put up
and the bullpen has really, really relied on Michael King as an anchor.
His ERA is a 2.66. Like he's been what they need.
Yeah.
121 strikeouts. He's only given up 7 home runs. He's being a very, very versatile pitcher for us right now. It's going to be very interesting to see what happens at free agent.
Oh, yeah. Oh, gosh.
It's really sad that we can talk about free agency right now.
Yeah, that sucks. That's the worst. I saw a tweet the other day that it was like before the Yankee game, and it was just like Yankee Stadium was just empty. And I'm like, this place should be rocking the second week of September. It should not be bare and empty the second week of September.
Yeah.
Wow. That spot, I didn't, oh God, now that's like that running in my brain. Yeah, that changes a hell of a lot. I mean, obviously, my brain wants to keep him, but also my brain, I know right now, keeps on forgetting that we have the anchor of Frankie Montas dragging behind us.
Yeah. I mean, it's a fine, the one thing that is known is wherever he goes, he's getting money.
Yeah.
Because going and having a 2.29 ERA last year through 51 innings and having a 2.66 this year through almost 100 innings, that's a high money worth. Mm-hmm. And it's a high money worth for an interesting situation for a pitcher, because it's not like he's a closer. He's not a closer, so he doesn't get closer money. And he's not a starter, so he doesn't get starter money. He gets that in the middle bullshit of we'll give you very little money for very little time.
Yeah, but he's too talented for that.
He is. And so I think that's why he might go and try to promote himself as a starter now and try to put himself out there as a starter and try to get that money.
Think about it, right? Jameson Taillon had a bad year as a Yankee and still got, well, not a bad year, but like a year as a Yankee and got quite a bit of money from the Cubs to have a bad year with the Cubs. If Jameson Taillon can ask for that money, Michael King can ask for money.
Yeah.
And if we're trying to get an ad, right? We're trying to add, I think, I'm pretty sure the Yankees are in, I'm trying to add Yamamoto. Then there's especially no room for King in our starting rotation.
Yeah. Yeah, no, exactly that. It's going to get into a really interesting spot of what we're
obviously the Yamamoto thing is that's going to have everybody's eyes this year between, well, let me put it this way. Casual baseball fans will be keeping their eyes on Shohei. More passionate baseball fans will be keeping their eyes on Yamamoto. And if we get Yamamoto, right, that means that we have to already move Nestor or Sevy or Montas out of the starting rotation. I think it should be Sevy.
Yeah.
And then if you also... Scotty Cox.
No, you're right. I missed Sevy when I was going through.
Yeah. Then if you're also adding Michael King into that, then you'd logically have to remove another one. Nestor has done both, but also you made a big deal out of moving Nestor into the starting rotation this year and out of the reliever position. So then do you just give up on Montas? He has no trade value. You can't trade him away to someone. You have to trade him.
Yeah, I mean, it's a really a fine line, because even you go and you're like, oh, you know, are you scared of what happened to Nestor? Of now you put him in a real starter spot and you're into, he had a pretty okay year. I mean, leading up to end up getting hurt. So he really didn't give you the numbers as his first, I'd say, full year of being a starting pitcher. I guess second full year of being a starting pitcher. Like, are you like almost afraid of that happening again? I mean, King is somebody who's had the history of starting before, hasn't had the clearest history of starting before.
But a very similar path to Nestor's.
Yeah. A lot less moving though.
Yeah. But it's, the starting rotation is going to, obviously, and it should, if it doesn't look different next year, I've got a problem. But it very much should look different next year. It's just if that's the change of one pitcher or two.
Yeah.
Because I'd imagine, right, we talked last week, the Yamamoto deal would be more than Tanaka's of 185, I think. It was either 185 or 135. I don't remember which one it was. So that's a lot of money. If you then have to pay Michael King some sort of starting pitcher salary, that's a lot of money as well. And you're not going to be able to trade really Luis Severino for money. What did he do this year that would give him any money?
Yeah. Nothing. Quite literally the opposite.
Maybe you could get a little bit for Nestor, but I don't think that you really, not enough to financially recoup from the other two.
Yeah.
I don't know. Oh God, that's a tricky little puzzle.
We've got quite an off season that I think people don't realize.
Why are you a sneaky off season? Before we get into non-Yankee things, Brian Hoke tweeted something the other day and it pissed me off that Aaron Hicks and Josh Donaldson are both making it into the playoffs, for what it's worth. And you know what I said? Your account should be deleted. Aaron Hicks is still an Oriole.
Still an Oriole?
Yesterday, I was helping my friend who works at DraftKings. He was asking about people who played on the Orioles. And he's going through the list and he's asking who's good, who's not. He's like, what about this Aaron Hicks guy? I go, I can't talk about him. He said, what do you mean? I was like, I physically cannot be objective about Aaron Hicks. I'm like, most other people I can like remove myself of and like be like, they're good, they're not good, whatever. I was like, I am so biased. Aaron Hicks could go 12 for 12 with 12 home runs, and I would still say he's the worst fucking outfielder in the entire league. But
he still really hasn't been doing too great. But
you know, he's still trash. But that's all we've got Yankee wise. I believe Garrett Cole makes his probably final start tonight. Or do you think he has one more?
There might be one more.
Might have one more?
I think he would. Let me check out the calendar real quick.
We're currently playing the Blue Jays. Currently get our butts swapped by the Blue Jays, who's surprised. So
it is Thursday. 5-day rotation would lead him playing Toronto again next week.
Oh, that's the worst.
Yeah, literally Thursday again.
That's so
fucked up. And then that'll probably be his last one.
That's so fucked up. They're playing Toronto like within the same 2 weeks.
Yeah, it's Toronto, Arizona, Toronto, Kansas City.
Ah, the worst. But like we were saying, there's not a whole lot of baseball, but let's just...
Can you hear
these police sirens going off or no?
No.
Okay, well, Scotty, let's talk about Somerset.
Yes, just because playoffs are coming around for the minor leagues, and Somerset has been very good, as they normally are. I don't know why we always have such a good double-A team, but can't do anything with them in the majors. They at the end of this regular season, they led all of double-A in record at 84-53. Home runs, 197, a lot of them coming from Jason Dominguez. Stolen bases with 256. And then pitching wise, opponent average at 214, ERA at 356, WHIP in 1.14. And that's all in Double A. And in the entire minor leagues, they led in run differential at 211. And they also led all of minor league baseball in in bullpen ERA 3.27, along with now holding Drew Thorpe the strikeout king in all of the minor leagues.
He also, and I don't know what the Yankees call it, but he won their like minor league player of the year award this year.
Yeah.
I don't know what the Yankees call it, but that's essentially what it means. Oh my gosh. On this date in 2008 was closing night at the old Yankee Stadium.
Oh.
Sad. So yeah, I also don't understand how Somerset's always so fucking good, and then you like look at the club and you're like, hey. But maybe this
year. Where are all those good rookies going?
This year could have just been a freak year. But I don't know where the hell Billy McKinney came from, because he was not in Somerset 2 years ago.
Nope.
But go ahead, Billy. What else were you going to say?
Kind of to transition into our around the league, going from Somerset. There were 38 top 100 prospects who made their debut in 2023,
the Orioles ones looked alike,
which is 11 more than the average over the previous 10 seasons.
I love that.
And that is a crazy number to do. That includes, of course, Volpe. You have Eli De La Cruz, Eury Pérez, Tanner Bibby, Jordan Walker, all of the Orioles.
The entire Orioles infield and half of the entire infield, correct?
I think first base.
Yeah, just not first.
Yeah, but yeah, no, there's a that is insane. 38 top 100 prospects.
Crazy. So
getting close to, I mean, over a third of that list is cut down.
Exciting, exciting. We love to see
two.
Woo!
Two? Yeah. I say it's full debut. So, three. Wells is on, too.
Wells was like 98.
I think, it would have been Wells, Volpe, and Dominguez.
I guess.
But I don't think Pereira was on it.
I don't think so, no. Because Pereira kind of came out of nowhere, even in the Yankee system, I think.
Yeah, he would get some. He would be like
Oswaldo kind of came out of, like, when I was in Somerset, first half of the year, he was just a guy that they had. And then the second half of the year, he was...
Not Pereira.
Peraza.
Oh, but Peraza, did he make his debut last year?
Yeah, he did, because he had a home run. He had a home run like six pitches after Aaron Judge hit 62.
Yeah.
And they were like, oh, like that's his first one too, I guess. Woo! Yeah, he made his debut last year.
Yeah, it's just a dope combination of a lot of young talent is very good.
Do you want to bring us around the league here, Scotty?
Sure. So, we mentioned Shohei Ohtani of his, first of all, he was reported out due to oblique injury.
Yeah.
And then he got arm surgery.
And then he cleaned out his locker.
cleaned out his locker. They're like, yeah, now he's done. And
they're like, he'll show up to home games. Okay.
And then we could talk about Mr. Stephen A. Smith.
Go ahead.
So, just because it's a hilarious thing, is he said that Shohei doesn't deserve a $500 million contract because the Angels didn't win or fill seats when he was on the team.
You know
First
what?
Of all, Stephen yes, they A. did Smith, fill seats.
Stephen A. Smith, you shouldn't talk about baseball.
Don't.
It's my.
You can see he's around basketball and football a little too much, where those one players make impacts on games.
And that's the thing that I like. I think I've met Stephen A. He's very interesting as a person, because the whole Stephen A. Smith person is a character. Like, Stephen Smith is very different than Stephen A. And it's totally fine if you just talk about two sports, bro. That's like totally okay. And also, it's not a problem if you go, I'm just not educated enough on that topic to share my opinion as forcefully as I'm going to. But he's always going to fucking do it, because he is a man. And I hate that.
Just straight up, Shohei Ohtani did fill seats.
Yeah, he did.
He did fill seats, and he did win. He was the cause of plenty of Angels wins.
Also, Team Japan wins.
Yeah. Like, it's not, it we're, really isn't just, oh, he didn't win. Yeah, they didn't win the World Series, but.
When Shohei was pitching in the at the end of the World Baseball Classic Championship game, that game was on in like one in every three households in Japan. So, and don't even get me started. Like, I don't remember the stat for how many American households it was on, but one in three Japanese households had that game on. So not only is he feeding American baseball, he's also feeding international baseball. We can argue that Aaron Judge is the face of Major League Baseball, or Mookie Betts is the face of Major League Baseball. Shohei Ohtani is the face of baseball, which is different than Major League, right? Major League Baseball is American. Shohei Ohtani is the face of international baseball.
Yeah. Yeah, and no, exactly that. Is
he alone would... is worth the
yeah. Yeah, he did fill seats. And if he didn't directly fill seats, he filled TV program.
Fuse.
Mm-hmm. It was, he had an impact no matter what, and he will fuel jersey sales wherever he goes.
Yes, sure. Maybe, like, I know we talked about it. Oh, him playing is like shaving money off of his contract. Yes. There's no possible way that Shohei is going to lose you money. It's just not possible. No. Wherever he, it's just not possible.
It is absurd.
He wherever he goes, he is going to make, like, they are going to make his contract and more within the first like year and a half, if you even need that long.
No, it's absurd to even think that Mr. Stephen say Stephen A could have said something like that.
Mr. Stephen.
To go the next part of the AL West, actually stick really with the team. Just one player who's on that team, Mike Trout, and to transition into something else that happened. Mike Trout, of course, is Mike Trout, and is one of the few active players with a 200-200 stat line. So career stat line of 200 home runs, 200 stolen bases.
The sentence of Mike Trout being Mike Trout could have gone so many different directions, either positive or negative.
But yeah, he is, so Mike Trout is now 1 of 4, was 1 of 3. So Mr. Jose Ramirez joins the club of 200 home runs, 200 stolen bases.
Jose Ramirez is Scotty's favorite non-Yankee.
He's just the most underrated. He is most, I'm passionate in saying he's the most underrated player in baseball.
100%.
He's
over there in Cleveland.
Yeah, J-Ram got his 200th stolen base and now joins, of course, Mike Trout, as I said, Andrew McCutchen, and Jose Altuve as the only four players with active players with 200.
Which is so interesting because you, and I mean this in the nicest way, you look at how J-Ram is built and you're like, that motherfucker's not stealing a base.
No, he's not.
And then you check, 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 chug.
Yeah.
But the others at least like look built to 200 home runs, no problem from J-Ram. The other three, I mean, Mike Trout is a freak. I see him doing both easily. But like the other, like McCutchen was like a skinny little dude, like during his like prime, and Jose Altuve, you know, fits in your back pocket. So you're like, oh, those two will steal bases, no problem. But they might struggle. But obviously, we all know Altuve's power is ridiculous. I just like, I'm just struggling to picture like J-Ram stealing bases, but clearly he's done it.
Wow. And actually what's really interesting is, so Altuve is 33.
Mm-hmm.
J-Ram is 31. Andrew McCutcheon's like 60.
Yeah.
Whatever. Andrew McCutcheon
has the body of a 60-year-old.
Yeah, Andrew McCutcheon, I think he's actually about 37. Yeah.
I'll look it.
Mike Trout's, what, 32?
I think so. I'll check them both.
So all of them... all four of them are not very much above the 200-200 mark. Mike Trout has 368 home runs, very far over the home run.
McCutcheon, Yankee great McCutcheon is 36.
36. Trout, I think, is 32 or
33. 32.
Okay. So Mike Trout has 368 home runs, well above that 200 mark. Absolutely. Only has 206 stolen bases.
Well, yeah, because every time he steals a base, he breaks his wrist.
Yeah. Altuve just got 200 this year at 33 years old at 209 home runs, 292 stolen bases.
He was hurt the beginning of the year.
But I still think it's impressive. Like, he's 33 and just got to that mark. And J-Ram is 31 and already got to that mark.
I also think that so that's
the youngest stat, he is the youngest active player.
I think that stat, the base change has obviously increased stolen bases this year. And I'm very excited to see, and I know people are going to be like, oh, well, they're stealing on not the same field that the old people did. But like the shakeups of stats that included stolen bases, like suddenly including people from like this millennium, because people are more inclined to steal and have had more success stealing. So it's going to be very interesting.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see the increase in stolen bases. And like a 200-200 stat line is going to become more of the norm,
mm-hmm.
I think because yeah. Baseball's already so long ball heavy.
Yeah,
and now I'm promoting stolen bases. And somebody who is surprisingly close, but still will probably possibly have to wait a whole nother year, not next year, but the year after, will be Acuna. Who is at 159 home runs, 174 stolen bases.
I'm going to go with that. He's not hitting 30 more home runs this year.
Well, no, I mean, like, he's probably not even going to do it next year. Because he's at 41 more homers, which will be close.
But he'll be close.
An immaculate year. He's at 39 right now, so he's not even hitting that number right now.
I would just like to say, right, just to put in to
granted, context, also it's still be super impressive because if he doesn't do it this year, or if he doesn't do it next year, he does it the year after, he'll be 27.
Yeah, but like, right, we've talked about how disruptive and powerful Ronald Acuna Jr. is. He has just now gotten to half as many home runs as Aaron Judge hit last year. The frame.
Oh, he's at 39.
Oh, he's at 39. Oh, I thought you just said he was at 31.
No. He's at 39. So he needs two more to hit the 41 that he'll need next year. Or I guess one more this year and then another like same exact year next year. We're
gonna... And even like including right Matt Olson, who I felt like hit a home run every single game.
Is only 52 or whatever. Yeah.
Like Aaron Judge hit 10 more home runs. Just like the scope of his performance last year, like just I think we'll always get better and better every year. And I'm very excited. I don't have a copy of it yet, but once I finish the book that I'm currently reading, I'm clear to buy more books. But I think I'm going to buy 62 by Brian Hoke, and it'll be like my one nonfiction book of the year, because I think that it'll just be very, very interesting that's such an interesting point of view on such an important part of baseball, not even just Yankee history, but sorry, I got a little booky there, but
yeah, no, all good. I mean, well, since we started talking about our you know, casual MVP of Ronald Acuna Jr., I will rotate to Braves and start off with the offensive side. In Ozzie Albies hit home run number 30 on the year, which puts him as the fifth Brave to have 30 or more home runs.
And they're all getting paid like $7 an hour to be a Brave.
Yeah, because they're all there until 2027. So that includes, of course, Olsen, of course, Acuna, Austin Riley has 36, Marcelo Zuna has 35, Ozzy Albies at 31.
Sorry, just need to toss that in there.
And then Eddie Rosario is the next highest at 21. Not gonna get it.
No. The crazy thing is, I'm pretty sure Rosario does not play every day.
Rosario is at 134 games played. Really? So he is
pretty much every day.
That's close to every day. I mean, that's 18 less than Matt Olson.
I could have swore he was like not playing.
No, he's up there now as a big statement for them.
Oh, since they signed him post.
Sean Murphy's at 20. Michael Harris is at 18. Sean Murphy's at 103 games played. He missed a third of the season so far and still has 20 home runs.
What's that like?
That's because he had the entire beginning of the season he hit
he hit a home run
every five days and hit two home runs each game. He did a home run for each game that he missed the first 2 weeks of the year.
And then Ozzy was like, oh, guess what? I'm also the best defensive catcher in the game. What's it like being me?
And then to shift from the one side of the ball to the other side of the ball, Spencer Strider hit 435 strikeouts in his first 50 starts. Sorry, go ahead.
No, you keep going. Sorry.
It puts him well ahead of the most strikeouts in first 50 starts in front of Dwight Gooden, who had 418 strikeouts, and Yu Darvish, who had 407. Again, that brings just another memory up of Yu Darvish was the shit when he
came. Oh my God, this is disgusting. I have 27 pitches and they all do different things and you're never going to see the ball. It's like a blitz ball. Where is he on Braves all time for the season? Something we talked about last week.
You're saying single season?
Yeah, single season all-time record for the Braves.
I think he led. I think he broke it.
He broke it?
He broke it last week. He beat Schmaltz.
Schmaltz.
I think so.
Do you watch the Braves broadcast? Oh, no, you can't.
I cannot. I'm not allowed to.
They have a fucking Australian on their broadcast. And
is it the John Boy guy?
I don't know. I always forget, and then it'll be like a day that the Yankees aren't playing, or like I actually want to watch good baseball. So I'm like, oh, I'll put the Braves on, and then I'm like, this fucking guy.
I say the John Boy guy, and that sounds. I mean, that's not what he was.
They don't have 75 fucking employees.
He just went and featured as a commentator while they were doing their blitz ball.
I don't know.
Levin, Betancourt, Ben Ingram, Gordon, Peter Moylan. Yes.
Yeah.
He was a former pitcher, a former pitcher, and yeah, he's the Australian. Yep.
I know that because like when he talks, he's like, when I pitched, well, I pitched, and I'm like, all right, where are we? Like in Atlanta, I'm like, when I pitched down on the farm, that's what I'm expecting. But what do I know?
I'm pretty sure he's number one on single season.
What else have you got? Anything?
Yes. If you want to go from young to old, Miguel Cabrera passed Adrian Beltre for all-time hits. He now is 16th all-time with 3,167 hits. So he doesn't do much. At this point, he doesn't do much. Every once in a while, he'll pass somebody.
But I do have to say, I love how, like, every team has like done something for him this year when he like came to them.
Yeah,
it's like such a huge piece of baseball.
Yeah, he's been in the league forever.
Actually, since it was created. Can I do another old per? Actually, I have two old people.
Go ahead.
One, Bartolo Colon, Big Sexy, officially retired as a Met.
Mm-hmm.
R.I.P.
The first pitch, right?
Huh?
Throughout the first pitch, right?
All I've got is this really awkward picture of him holding his jersey. That's all I have. He looks ancient. But, you know, proud of him. And then the other old that I have is that Brandon Crawford was placed on the IL today. 13-year veteran, entire career with the Giants, is a free agent at the end of this year. Scotty, have we seen the last of Brandon Crawford? Related through marriage to Garrett Cole.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think so. I think it depends on what this injury is, which it didn't seem like much. I think
it was a hamstring injury.
Because he's still, like, I have to give him credit. He is still playing, not like he's 65.
How old is he?
I think he is actually 30. I think he's 37. I got up. He's 36 right now.
Yeah.
He is 36, but he's not as athletic as he was. He started when he was 24. He made his debut. So as you said, 13 years with the team. He did have a rough year this year, batting 197, but defensively too, he's not. I just feel like he isn't completely just dissipating through age. I think we'd at least see him for another year.
Like in a DH position, or do you think he'd play the field?
I think he'd play the field. And that's a situation of, I don't know the Giants situation with who they have coming up or who they may look at free agency wise. Who are the agent shortstops? Good question. What? 2023.
Oh, he did say, in May of this year, he said, quote, "I'm not too worried about what maybe is going to happen after this year. It's the last year of my contract. I don't know what the future holds after that." I just had a different quote. He openly admitted the uncertainty he feels about his future, not only with the Giants, but in the big leagues as well. This is with Clutch Points. Rexwell Vias wrote it. But I'm sure it will end up being a feeling that I have, and the conversation that I'll have with my wife, it's a decision we'll make together.
Yeah. Honestly, it's about who the Giants have in their farm system. Because free agents-wise, there's nobody this year.
I was going to say, I also think they would have been shuffling him to retirement quicker if the Carlos Correa deal went through.
Yeah. So look at the...
Crawford could maybe squeeze one more year out and then they could move to Correa, but maybe they give him a 1 year with another second-year option.
Yeah. I mean, I think that they'll probably give him a 1 year. I mean, he's not going to go... It's either he returns for a year or two or he retires. He's not going to switch teams at this point.
No. I would not be surprised if he does what we've seen a lot of players do and sign a 1 year contract for opening day.
Yeah.
And retire a Giant.
I mean, the biggest thing, as I said, it's either they have, and I probably could have looked this up, they either have somebody in the farm system who's good or they're going to make a big trade because there is, I'm dead serious, nobody. I can go through the shortstops right now.
After two very good shortstop free agencies, there are none available right now.
There are 15. They have Marco Luciano, who could be taking shortstop. He's very good, very young.
He's young? How young? Right now.
He's 22.
He's a 14-year-old out of the DR.
But, like, so they might go and look to transition him more. And I think that kind of already started because Brandon Crawford, I think his numbers start-wise went down. He only played 92 games this year.
Yeah.
So they've already kind of made that transition. So possibly that could have been the last game. Could have been, yeah, exactly what you said, kind of do a little bit to
doing
end it.
One day.
Yeah. Because
give them a big thing like they gave Buster, like a big hooray, hurrah.
Yeah.
Especially if he decides now that he's retiring on opening day. The marketing team can really get going.
So I wanna now that I look decide to look this up, I wanna mention, I know it's hella early, but I just wanna mention the shortstop class that we have. Javier Baez can opt out of his contract.
He shouldn't.
Brandon Crawford is a free agent. Kike Hernandez is a free agent. Andre Rosario is a free agent. IKF. Tim Anderson has a club option. Alberto Mondesi. Elvis Andrews. Donovan Solano. Didi Gregorius. And then on it, Paul DeJong is the only other one that I know of all of these guys.
Didi Gregorius needs to get signed for like one. He has 999 hits.
Yeah, Didi Gregorius right now is 33 years old. Elvis Andrews is 35.
Yeah.
Like, it's...
Ahmed Rosario, is that the one that was in Cleveland and is now a Dodger? Or is that Eddie?
No, you're right. Eddie is the one on the...
Eddie's the one on the Braves.
On the Braves, yep.
Ahmed was a Met.
He kind of hopped around everywhere.
Who was the guy that was in Cleveland and is now a Dodger? Is that Ahmed?
Yes.
Okay. Yes.
You're right.
Sorry. I only knew his current and his most recent past.
Okay.
we had two back-to-back kind of banger shortstop class years.
Yeah.
You can't expect that every year. Yeah. When IKF is potentially your best option.
Yeah. I know it's bad.
Problem.
Speaking about retiring, Adam Jones signed a one-day contract with the Orioles to officially retire as an Oriole. So that's the last glimpse of hope that the Orioles had since this new squad came in. That was kind of their last. Adam Jones is their last happiness moment, which is actually really dope that they are now going back to the playoffs and kind of reminisce. Hey, this is the last time we were good. He was here.
It's their first time since 2016. Just like not to get it into the Orioles, but it's Oriole October, baby. I can't wait for them to lose to the Braves in the World Series. what else?
I don't know who this is. I'm gonna be honest.
Oh boy.
But a San Diego Padre pitcher threw a knuckleball.
Yes, they have a knuckleballer.
So dope. Amazing. They're just so interesting, knuckleballers.
Scotty's like, I have no other thoughts, but that's dope.
Yeah, I really don't even know what to say. It's just cool. There's a knuckleballer.
That's true. Do you see that the Rays have a plan for their new
season? They have a plan. Also, did you see that there's a person in their plan wearing a Wander Franco jersey?
No, I didn't. But that makes it seem like I've got to get my butt down to the trop.
Oh, you can barely see it. But there's a woman over here wearing a Wander Franco jersey.
That's a very easy thing that they could have fixed before publishing that. It sounds like, Scotty, we got to go to the trop next year.
Yeah, what, 2025? We have time. Due to open in 2028.
We got to go next year.
I'm down for that, but there is a little bit of time.
Did you want to see that Luis Arraez got 200 hits this season?
Also, Luis Arraez went day-to-day the last 2 days because he tripped on a ball during warm-ups.
It'd be like that sometimes, you know?
I laughed at it because I was like, I know that pain. I know that situation.
Yeah, and you're just like, and you're like, God, I don't want to say that I'm still hurt, but...
It's funny to see a professional do something that I've experienced a, like, 14-year-old do.
Yeah. Corbin Carroll also became the first rookie in American League / National League history to hit 25 home runs and steal 50 bases. Just like before, like we were saying, the increase in stolen base statistics are going to be fun.
Well, even like that, I bet that it's going to be darn close, even without the bases. Corbin Carroll's always been that guy.
Oh, yeah. Brewers right-handed pitcher.
I was going to get to that.
Mejia?
JC Mejia.
suspended 162 games for PEDs. Brother.
I'm going to be honest, Lex, you can't say it like that. That just makes it seem like we're going to go into another situation of he be his girlfriend or something.
Sorry.
A little too casually.
Sorry.
Come on, PEDs are a little more
surprising. One or the other. It's a real toss-up of which one it's going to be. This is going to sound weird. I don't understand. I mean, like, I'm sure there is.
You aren't even good with being on PEDs. It didn't help you.
How did we realize?
You didn't become a stud.
I only had one other thing. I don't know if you had anything else, but the Tigers are hiring Blackhawks associate general manager to be their new GM, which I just think is interesting. I feel like, and I might be wrong in just referencing the most recent history and being an idiot, I feel like you don't often see GMs hop sports. They normally stay in their lane of which major sport they're in. And, you know, maybe this is the directional change that Detroit needs, because let's be real. When is the last time they were competitive?
Long time ago.
Long time ago. Have you got anything else, dude?
A lot of Octobers in Detroit.
No, there have not.
Which is good. I wouldn't want
to play. I would love the games in October in Detroit or November, like going to November. No, thank you.
They're just doing us a favor.
Have you got anything else, dude?
I have nothing else.
Next week is last week of Yankee baseball.
Technically, in a way, we play until Sunday.
Sadie, I'm just looking for it to end. I need it to end. I just need to watch consistently competitive baseball. It's not too much to ask. Well, then you've got us one-ish more weeks of talking about Yankee baseball. And then we can just talk about good baseball, which is
exciting.
But until then, you can follow us on Instagram at pinstripe.podcast. If the Yankees choose to do anything miraculous and crazy and cuckoo bananas, there's nothing that they could really do at this point to surprise us, but we'll say
they all hit 62 home runs.
And make sure to interact with the show on whatever platform that you are listening to it on. And for Scotty, I am Lexi, and this has been the Pinstripe Podcast. Bye.